Welcome back to Misunderstood. I'm Rachel Yucatel. So today we're thrilled to welcome Harley Pasternak, a globally renowned celebrity trainer, nutrition expert, and best-selling author. With a career spanning over two decades, Harley has transformed the lives of countless individuals, from Hollywood A-listers to everyday people, with his science-based approach to fitness and wellness. Known for his innovative workout programs and balanced nutritional strategies, Harley has helped clients achieve sustainable long-term health. Beyond his work as a trainer, Harley is also an accomplished author, having penned several books that have inspired readers around the world to live healthier lives. Join us as we dive into the world of fitness, nutrition, and wellness with one of the industry's most respected figures. Welcome to the podcast, Harley Pasternak. Recently, I've been exploring holistic ways to support my health. I've discovered something that's truly made a difference. Holistic Goddess's Bison Trifecta. This supplement, made from freeze-dried bison organs, heart, liver, and kidney, is delivered in convenient capsules. Since adding Bison Trifecta to my daily routine, I've noticed a significant boost in my energy levels and mental clarity. It's been a game changer in managing my busy schedule and combating that midday slump that many of us experience, especially during perimenopause and menopause. Guys, if you're having a hard time figuring out what kind of vitamins and supplements you should be taking, I'm telling you from personal experience, you really should try this Bison Trifecta. You feel the results in days, like tangible results. Also, perimenopause and menopause can bring a host of challenges, hot flashes, mood swings, and fatigue, just to name a few. Bison Trifecta helps address these issues with its comprehensive support. The collagen and vitamins in bison liver promote skin elasticity and hormone balance, helping to ease some of the physical symptoms. Bison heart provides vital nutrients that boost energy and mental clarity, combating the fatigue often experienced during this transition. And bison kidney supports overall vitality and immune health, crucial as our bodies undergo hormonal changes. But it's not just about energy. What I love is it's made with clean, pure ingredients and contains no unnecessary additives or fillers. If you're facing similar challenges, I highly recommend giving Bison Trifecta a try. It's been a valuable addition to my wellness routine, and it might be just what you need. For more info, visit holisticgoddess.com and see if Bison Trifecta would be the right fit for you. And by using my code, you get 15% off. So go to holisticgoddess.com and find the Bison Trifecta and use code UNDERSTOOD at checkout. Let me know what you think about it, guys. I know you're going to love it. I'm so happy you're here to answer all the questions about what is misunderstood with fitness and nutrition. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for joining me. So I wanted to start with the fact that I'm looking behind you and you have a zillion degrees and credentials. Can we talk about that for a second? How did you get into what you do?
I'm from Canada originally and was a hockey player. I went to university and got hurt early on, I realized I wasn't going to make it as a professional hockey player. So I spent 10 years in university and academia, and I did degrees in exercise physiology, nutritional sciences. And I was working towards my PhD and got recruited by the military as a nutrition and exercise scientist. And I've written 8 books since. And now I teach at the University of Toronto and see my clients, my private practice clients is back in Los Angeles, and they're busy.
Wait, talk to me about the military for a second. What do you mean they recruited you for that? What? How did that even come about?
I was looking to do my thesis on the effects of certain performance-enhancing aids for soldiers in the field, specifically caffeine. That was caffeine and ephedrine at the time. Remember, there was that ECA stack. People were taking that ephedrine-caffeine combination. Some people to lose weight, other people to have energy in the gym. And it yet hadn't been illegal, hadn't been banned. And it was a very common, you can go to a supplement store and buy it. And at the time I was a bodybuilder and a lot of people around me were using it and I was pretty intrigued by it. So I put together a study that I wanted to do. The university said they weren't funding it. They couldn't insure it. in case something would happen. And so there was a branch of the military that reached out and said, we will fund it, house it, and give him his a laboratory to work at. And he can finish his graduate work here. And I did work on drugs called modafinil, acetazolamide, just performance enhancing substances to help soldiers run faster, jump higher, stay awake longer.
Wow. And what were your findings? Did you find something that really worked?
Yeah. So my specific thing was I came up with a standardized capsule that all pilots still use in the Air Force of caffeine and ephedrine, 1.2 milligrams of caffeine per kilogram of body weight, 0.8 milligrams of ephedrine per kilogram of body weight. And if you are a pilot and you have to eject over a cold body of water, by popping one of these, it'll delay hypothermia. And if you're in a special mission and you have to, you know, have an exorbitant amount of energy for an all-out bout of exertion, it'll help you be better at it. And then another drug called modafinil that can keep you awake for 3 days at a time.
Jeez. And have like college kids figured out how to get this so they can stay awake and study?
I think a lot of them got really sick doing these things. And so I really hope that
because
people
are abusing
these.
Yeah, because they abused it, you mean, as opposed to doing for what it was recommended for?
I think some people actually died with the ephedrine and caffeine stack.
Wow.
Specifically, there was a court case years ago, Crunch Fitness, a trainer, gave it to one of their clients and she ended up having a heart attack. And during the autopsy, they found out she was pregnant. So, I mean, there was a lot of bad press that came from that. And I think the government shut it all down.
Wow. Oh, my God. Incredible. Okay. So talk to me about how you got to LA. And I mean, I think the way people really know your name mostly is because of your connection with these celebrities who you've made look amazing throughout the year. So how did you get into that job?
So I started a personal training business 33 years ago when I was in undergrad, my first year undergrad. And I would train all the Hollywood actors that came to Canada to shoot films. And most people don't realize most Hollywood films are not shot in Hollywood. Many of them, and the majority of times, are actually shot in Canada. Mm-hmm. And so I would train the actors up there for films. And then at some point, I was working on a film in Montreal with Robert Downey Jr. He had just gotten out of his last stay at a place. And Halle Berry had just won her Oscar. And Penelope Cruz. And yeah, I was really excited to be out there working with them. And Halle said, when we're done this, will you move to LA with me and get me ready for Catwoman? And around that time, Mila Jovovich had asked me to get her ready for Resident Evil. And at that time, you know, four or five other people. And then I went on Oprah Winfrey show at the peak of its popularity. And then that's it.
Right. So, but was there one celebrity it started with that found you and then it was a word of mouth in Canada?
It was actually a producer named Don Carmody, who was a Canadian producer. And if anyone looks at his IMDb, I think he's produced probably more than or almost more than anyone in the history of film, from Chicago to Resident Evils to Good Will Hunting to everything in between. And I got him in great shape. And so then he put me on a film with some actors and got them in great shape. So I want to say maybe my first ones were either Jim Caviezel, who became Jesus in The Passion, but I started with him long before that. Stephen Dorff in Cold Creek Manor. So this is a long, long time ago. Mm-hmm. Then Eliza Dushku and Emmanuel Shrieky on Wrong Turn. This is 25 years ago.
Wow.
And then worked my way up from there to Gothica and Slow Burn with LL Cool J and Ray Liotta and then Catwoman. And then it just spiraled from there, probably 120 films ago.
Right. So I'm curious, do you think that these celebrities, I mean, I know you've trained other people too, but just bear with me because I know that that's what a lot of people want to hear about. Do you think it's that they trusted you at the beginning and that's why you got all these different clients? Or do you think you offered something different than a standard trainer could give and you could show results quicker?
I think a combination of the two is that the fitness industry is a relatively young industry. And when I started, nobody, you know, aspired to be a personal trainer. It was something you did on the side as you were working towards what you really wanted to do. And certainly if you were a personal trainer, people didn't go to university to do that.
Yeah.
And then if they did, they didn't have the nutrition background as well. So I think they had faith in me because I treated it as a profession, as a health field, and had the background and credentials and academic part to support it. And I also was, not an aspiring actor. I wasn't, you know, in LA to sell a script or to be on a role. So my intentions were very pure, and I think people trusted me. Being Canadian helped. I think that definitely did help.
Right. Okay. So I want to get into fitness then, because obviously you know what you're talking about there, and people come to you to get in shape very quickly for a role. First of all, what would you say are the misconceptions about fitness? Because I think, first of all, to go back for a second, what you were talking about, there are so many people that are in the fitness industry. You go to any Lifetime gym, any gym anywhere, and there's like 300 trainers. And for the most part, I don't know anything about their credentials. All I know is to be a trainer, you have to look like you have a nice body. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're healthy. It just means they were either born that way or they're taking some steroids. But you educate me on this. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Yeah, the fitness industry and nutrition, there are more people out there that think they're authorities in the field and speak to people about it. I think social media has been more harmful than helpful when it comes to a lot of these things. I know when I learned about fitness as a young teenager, I was buying all these muscle magazines, Muscle and Fitness and Flex and Muscle Media. And then you find out that every single fitness magazine was owned by a nutritional supplement company. And every article you were reading was a planted article put there for you to buy amino acids or protein powders or creatine. And so today we have that times a billion, that the majority of information that you see today on social media or the internet regarding fitness and nutrition, sleep, health, all that stuff is actually incorrect, most of it. And most of it is coming from people that don't have education in the field, not credentialized in the field, that are self-professed gurus. And it's really difficult trying to be a voice of moderation, balance, logic, evidence-based advice in a notion of people who are giving you really cool clickbait stuff. Like, you know, you have razor sharp abs in 5 days. You're going to click that. You're not going to click when I say, here's five things you can do to slowly transform your body over the next 12 months.
Right.
That's the right message. And that's what people should be doing, but people want to know, how do I lose 10 pounds today? And that's where they're looking.
Right. Well, okay. So that's the first question I had written down. Can you transform your body fast?
I think you can lose water fast.
Okay.
That's it. So when you hear people say, I'm on this keto diet or Atkins diet or whatever diet you're on, and you lost 5 pounds in 5 days, you lost 5 pounds of water. There's 4 grams of water stored with every gram of carbohydrate. So if you eliminate carbohydrates from your body, short term, you're going to lose water. Doesn't mean you're leaner. Doesn't mean you're healthier. Doesn't mean you have less body fat. Body fat takes a while to burn. You need to have a deficit of about 3,600 calories. So to put things into perspective, if you did an hour walk every single day, call it for a month, you could lose a pound. If you combine that with restricting your caloric intake, you can pick that up. But I would say weight loss faster than 2 pounds a week, for most people, is not safe, not necessary. And in the process, you're losing water, you're losing lean muscle tissue. The scale doesn't always tell the tale.
How many minutes a day is it important to work out?
So when you look at physical activity, there's two distinct categories. One of them is what I call steps. And steps is designed to be aerobic in nature, to help you burn calories, right? Good for heart health, good for your brain's health as well, emotional state. And that's just weight-bearing movement, whether it be walking, running, jogging, skipping, stepping, ellipticaling. I like to say walking. And I don't measure it in terms of times, but rather than steps. So how many steps should people do each day? I tell my clients 12,000 steps a day is their goal, which is 6 miles. It sounds like a lot, but it's actually not that bad. On the other hand, resistance exercise, which is lifting weights, your own body weight, Pilates, yoga, anytime you challenge a muscle or muscle groups, that's more like antibiotics. You need a specific frequency, dose, duration, intensity. So if your doctor says, take one pill a day for the next 20 days, and you're like, I'm just going to take 10 a day for the next two, not only will it not work as well, it might actually backfire and make you less healthy. So with steps, every day of your life, try and hit 10 to 12,000 steps a day, some more, some less, depending on your health status or injury status. And as far as resistance exercise, you know, I tell people 90 minutes a week is a great way to start. And so it could be, you know, 12 minutes a day, 7 days a week. It could be three 30-minute workouts a week. It could be 22 minute workouts a week. So you can split it up however you want.
So you were talking about 12,000 steps. Does it matter if you walk or run that? You just have to do it.
It doesn't matter if you walk or run. If you run, you're going to be done 12,000 steps faster. If you walk, it'll take more time. But on the other hand, if you walk, you can be social. You can talk on the phone. You can be with a friend. You can go from one destination to another. You don't have to put on an outfit to do it. You're not going to sweat. You don't have to change your footwear. So the aggregate of slow movement throughout the day tends to be more impactful than super intense all-out exercise. Not that you don't, you shouldn't do it. You don't have to do it.
Well, so I'm curious because we, the civilians, always hear that the way to be losing weight the quickest, getting in shape, seeing tangible results the quickest is by pushing yourself even more. So doing those extra hard classes, those HIIT classes, those classes that have a ton of cardio where you feel like you can't even breathe halfway through and your body aches for 24 hours after. So I'm wondering about those versus, you know, people who just either physically can't do that or just are not that they're lazy, but it just is easier to walk and to do maybe Pilates and things where your heart rate aren't really going up. What's the difference? Can you still get to your goal by doing those two different routes?
I always tell people, what weighs more, a pound of bricks or a pound of feathers?
Well, it's a pound.
Right. A calorie is a calorie.
Okay.
So if you're doing 10,000 steps a day walking, and 10,000 steps a day running, you're still doing 10,000 steps with the same amount of weight that you're carrying. And so your caloric expenditure is going to be similar. Now, the difference is the slower you go, the higher the percentage of calories that you burn will come from fat. The faster you go, the higher percentage of calories you burn will come from carbohydrate. So if you're running, and I'm just throwing out numbers, this isn't exact, maybe you burn 65% fat, 35% carbohydrate. If you're walking, maybe it's 90% of your calories coming from fat and then the other 10% from carbohydrate. So the lower the intensity of movement, the higher the percentage of your calories will come from fat.
Okay. If somebody only has, let's say, 10 minutes a day to work out, what are the best moves that you would suggest for them to continually do?
Is this on top of their walking?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So I would pick a different body part.
So you're saying walking is a very important thing.
It's like hygiene. It's like brush your teeth every day, shower, walk.
Okay.
Part of just taking care of yourself. I would say if you're resistance training for 10 minutes a day, pick a body part, one body part. Pick one exercise for that body part. And each day of the week, do a different exercise that corresponds to a different body part. And maybe if it's 10 minutes, maybe it's four sets of 10 repetitions of a reverse lunge. And then the next day, maybe it's four sets of 10 repetitions of a good morning. Or maybe the next day, it's four sets of 10 repetitions of a hip thrust. And each day, you're kind of executing different exercises. And then as you become more advanced, you can add sets, reps, resistance, and then perhaps make your workouts a bit longer and less frequent. So instead of a little bit 7 days a week, maybe it's a little bit more 5 days a week. And then maybe it's a little bit more in 4 days a week. So I work out 3 to 4 days a week for about 40, 45 minutes each time. And that's it.
Mm-hmm. And would you say that the heavier the weight, the better? Or, you know, sometimes they're saying to do as much as you can with less reps, or do you like more reps with less weight?
Good question. I think it really depends on the circumstance, the person, and, you know, your workout has to keep changing. For your body to keep changing, the workout has to keep changing.
Okay.
So sometimes it's heavier weights and lower reps, and sometimes it's lighter weight and higher reps, and sometimes it's right in the middle. And there's some workouts where I'll do, you know, four sets of 50 repetitions with no weight, and the workout's over quickly, but I am just beat. And there's other times I'll do 15 sets of 5 repetitions of a really heavy weight. Mm-hmm. And so it depends on what you're doing. I will tell you that certain body parts respond much better to heavier resistance. I shouldn't even say heavier resistance. I'll say higher resistance, because sometimes it's a band, which is not heavy. Sometimes it's your own body weight. You're not even lifting weights.
Right.
So people are scared of doing weights sometimes, but what they don't realize is your body weight's actually much heavier than most weights. Can you do a pull-up?
I mean, sure. One, maybe. Not half.
It's tough. Right. Most people can't. And that's without weights. That's just lifting yourself. And so I think it's all about relatively what exercise you're doing, what body part you're doing. Training your hamstrings, your glutes, your upper back. Larger muscle groups tend to respond better to higher resistance. Smaller muscle groups like Pilates, the little stabilizers, tend to work better with lower resistance and higher repetition.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. Forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Okay, let me talk about the butt with you for a minute, because there are so many women, especially, who go into doctors to adjust the way that their butt looks. So if someone should be paying attention to wanting to do this without a surgical enhancement, is there one thing that you would suggest? Do squats really work?
The most important thing, if you want a great butt, pick your parents very carefully. Genetics are 90% of it. And then often the exercises you do when you're very young will create certain muscle strength balances and imbalances, which will force you to use your glutes more. So you see kids that do gymnastics when they're young, sprinting, they tend to develop really strong glute muscles young, so that later in life, they have an easy time using and accessing those glute muscles. But as far as isolating your glutes, stiff leg deadlifts, which are otherwise called Romanian deadlifts, hip thrusts, walk lunges, lunges, anything where you're isolateral, you can get a bit of a deeper range of motion, access that glute a bit more, step-ups, deep step-ups, weighted. They're all great and they can access your glute maximus, but if you don't have the genetic predisposition to really develop those glutes, that's one thing. And the other thing is, remember, your butt is mainly fat. And so fat can shape the way your butt looks and presents itself in clothing. So that's why the Brazilian butt lift got really popular.
You know that feeling when you get home from a long day and immediately want to take off your bra? With Honeylove, you'll never experience that again. Their bras are so comfortable, you'll forget you're wearing them. You may even sleep in them. Honeylove's best-selling crossover bra is so comfortable, it's sure to be your new go-to. This bra gives all the support of traditional bras without using any underwires. Plush mesh detailing adds a touch of sexy. This is the one bra you'll actually enjoy wearing and won't want to take it off. That's the one that I have. I have it in a beautiful white color, fits underneath every single thing I wear. I wear it all the time. It's a great t-shirt bra. And I never even remember that I have it on. It's so fabulous, you guys. But it doesn't stop there. Honeylove has more than just bras. They have incredibly comfortable shapewear, tanks, and leggings for everyday support. Honeylove has you covered for the everyday look, workouts, weddings, and more. Honeys, you need this in your life. You've earned it. Honeylove is not just supporting women, it's empowering women. Treat yourself to the best bras on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/understood. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off. Again, that's honeylove.com/understood to find your perfect fit. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Honeys, you deserve this. Free the pain and discomfort. Keep the support with Honeylove. I see. So as a skinny white chick, me, I'm going to have a harder time because I'm not a sprinter or a gymnast, is what you're saying.
Because, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you don't have the genetic predisposition of having very bulbous muscles.
Right.
Right. And you, you don't have enough body fat on you that would collect, you know, in a way that would create volume in the glutes.
Right. Okay. Since COVID, I feel like a lot of people came on the scene by doing virtual training sessions and even getting very famous, becoming fitness gurus online. Do you have thoughts on these kind of workouts? If they work, is it just consistency because they're always there and you can do it in your own time? Why are they working in terms of why are these people getting rich and famous? And do they work on people like us?
I think anytime you can motivate, inspire, or educate someone to move, you're doing more good in the world. I think that the person who's teaching you should hopefully be the right person for what you're looking for and who you are. If you have a predisposition for an injury or some existing orthopedic concern, and you're working with someone who doesn't have the credentials or education in the field, you could hurt yourself. They could give you the most fun workout in the world and be dynamic and play fun music and have all these great witty anecdotes. And next thing you know, you've got a rotator cuff problem or a bicep tendonitis or a, you know, jumper's knee. And so knowing the body is important to help avoid injuries. And when injuries do present themselves, which often is inevitable, is knowing how to deal with them, hopefully train around them and maybe even exercise in a way to help them better, be better.
I'm curious about your thoughts on trends in the future that you see in the world of fitness. Everyone's always coming out with a new thing, you know, something to work out with on. Do you see something in the future that you really like?
Oh, there's so much. I'm a big fan of Form, F-O-R-M-E, Form, Form Life.
Okay.
It's like this the one. Mirror came out maybe 10 years ago. The mirror was a little, you know, mirror, and you had an app and you could shoot content and watch it on the mirror.
Yeah.
And then Tonal came out maybe 6-7 years ago, which was a small screen on the wall and then these two arms for resistance. And I think it was a good piece of equipment. And then Form came out, sort of a combination of both times 10. It's this beautiful 6-foot chrome mirror that just goes on your wall. And it could go in your bedroom, living room, dining room, wherever. It just looks like a beautiful mirror. And when you touch it, you wake it up and it has all this content on there. It also has arms behind it, which can protract and come forward so you can interact with it. But what's really cool is you can do live training. So let's say you've got a Form unit in Cabo and you're on vacation, but you want to do a workout with your favorite trainer back in New York. They can grab their iPad and you're on your Form and they see you, you see them, and they show up 6 feet tall. So that's a cool one. I think,
wow.
Yeah, that's a cool one. Climber, that's another cool one. It's like a Versa Climber times 2.0. Has two separate individual sides rather than one center channel. There's a screen in front of you rather than staring at a steel bar. I also think what's old is new. So I think we're coming full circle again back to some of the classic bits of equipment. If you watch the movie Pumping Iron, the documentary with Schwarzenegger from the 70s, a lot of the things that you saw in the gym from the 70s and 60s, like Nordic curls and sissy squats and step up platforms, these really analog pieces of equipment, I think, are making a resurgence as resistance exercise becomes more and more popular.
I'm curious if you had to suggest one class a week, would it be something like a Orange Theory versus a Tracy Anderson versus a Bikram yoga class?
I'm not a class guy myself. I think what people like about classes is the social aspect of it and the energy that a group brings. And if you are a beginner and that inspires you to go and be active and maybe learn some new moves, then I think it's great. But I think once you've been exercising for big classes, I think will do more harm than help because there's no personalization. There's no progression. They're teaching one thing to everybody, and people are different, and people have different injuries and strengths and fitness levels. And the progression aspect, that's another big part of it. So I think as far as a class goes, it's whatever brings you joy. If you want to dance, go to a dance class. If you want to meditate, do a yoga class. If you want to, you know, whatever it is that brings you energy and joy. But at some point, I think it's important that you create a program or have someone create a program for you that's specific to you, your needs from a time perspective, equipment perspective, health perspective, injury perspective, goal perspective, so that you're doing what's great for you, not you doing something that's organized for a massive group of people.
Right. Well, that makes sense. Okay. I want to talk about nutrition for a second. You do a lot on your social media about foods and nutrition. There's so much conflicting information on diets out there. What is your stance on all these diets?
Every diet works. Every diet works for most people for a period of time.
Sure.
The problem is hardly anybody can follow these diets for an extended period of time. And so you always hear people talk about, oh, I did that diet. I lost so much weight on it. And then what? Well, then I stopped. I couldn't keep doing it. So I think the problem is people are sprinting. They're doing these quick fixes that are very extreme. That are talking, you know, eliminate food groups. No carbs, no grains, no nightshades, no dairy, no gluten, no soy. And at the end of the day, there's nothing wrong with any of those things. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, perhaps the biggest wrong turn we've taken in the West is removing carbohydrates from our diet. What's the healthiest, longest living countries in the world? Can you think of any?
I'm assuming Japan or China.
Both of those, Japan, China, they're number one and number two, basically.
Okay.
They consume amongst the most carbohydrates per capita in the world.
Meaning rice, I assume.
Primarily rice.
Yeah.
Whereas in the United States, we have one of the most unhealthy, obese countries in the world. We have one of the lowest intakes of carbohydrates in the world. Americans get 48% of their calories from carbs. Well, Japanese people, Chinese people, Singapore. Yeah.
No, go ahead.
They get about 63%.
So I'm curious about that, though, because Americans, I'm guessing, I mean, we eat a lot of meat, but I think there's a lot more fast food than just meat, right? Is that the issue with the Americans, or is it the amount of protein we're eating, or animal protein?
So I think number one is we eat more in general.
More.
Mm-hmm. So we consume more calories. We have larger portion sizes. That's number one. Number two is Americans consume more added oils and fats than any country in the world. So between 1974 and 2024, you have 50 years, the average American consumes a little over 700 more calories per day. If I was to ask you, of those 700 additional calories Americans consume every day, how many of those do you think come from sugar?
Oh my God, probably most of them.
24. 24 out of the 700 calories come from sugar.
Well, what are we eating? You mean it's that oil? It's fat.
So when people have oat milk, it's canola oil they're drinking. If they're having, you know, it's so many different food products, there's oils added to them. Animal fats, very high animal fats. America is one of the biggest consumers of red meat in the world. So, you know, while there are some people that will tell you there's nothing wrong with saturated fats and animal fats, the majority of the research definitely is in agreement that there is something that's not good about having too many saturated fats. And we're consuming a lot of them. We also combine sugar with salt and sugar with fat. And so that combination makes people overeat as well.
So I know you've written a bunch of books on called The Body Reset Diet. What would you suggest are the things that we should be eating and not eating?
Every time you eat, you want to make sure you have protein the size of your hand.
Yeah.
So fish, chicken, eggs, for example. You want to have unlimited vegetables, as many vegetables as you want. A palm full of carbohydrate, whole grains, legumes, sweet potatoes, fruits, and about the mass of your thumb from the base to the tip of healthy fats, avocados, nuts, seeds, olives, etc. So that's a typical meal. So this morning for breakfast, I had an omelet with one whole egg with the yolk and five whites. And I scrambled it with some diced peppers and some spinach and a little avocado. And on the side, I had a bowl of blackberries. Hmm. There's a great example.
And what are your thoughts on like soy, tofu, whey protein?
Soy's great. You know, the healthiest countries in the world are all very large consumers of soy. I think where we got into trouble was with some soy byproducts. And, you know, when you take a food further away from its original state, it's a different food. But, you know, eating edamame and fermented soy in the form of soy milk or tofu, I think is very healthful, has an incredible nutritional profile, and a very anti-carcinogenic. Whey protein is one of the two proteins from dairy. Massive fan of whey. In the 1980s, there was something created called the biological value of protein that ranked the quality of dietary protein. Originally, 100 out of 100 was a whole egg. A whole egg was considered the gold standard of protein. It had all the essential amino acids. It was easy for the body to use, utilize, turn into tissue, turn into to body cells. And then after 100, you had 92 was milk, 90 was egg whites, 88 to 82 was like chicken, beef, fish. Soy was about 60. And then all the plant-based proteins like pea, and rice, they're around 30 or 40. So then when they were able to isolate whey from dairy, it was 106 out of 100. It was such a high quality protein source and all the essential amino acids. It was really easy for the body to use that it was off the charts high. Mm-hmm. So I'm a big fan of whey, and it's easy for the body to utilize, absorb, and
I want to ask you about caffeine. I know you've done years as a researching caffeine. But before you talk to me about caffeine, what do you put in your coffee? Like, are you a milk, like a regular milk drinker, or do you do almond milk?
Sometimes I'll put a tablespoon of whipped cream. I have like a caffè Campana.
Oh.
Which it sounds decadent, but it's not. It's one little of whipped cream. I think it's 5 or 10 calories at most. And I don't know, I feel like I'm being fancy.
But do you prefer like an almond milk or an oat milk to a regular milk from a cow?
No. Huge advocate of real milk. Calcium, vitamin D, casein, whey. There's so much misinformation about dairy. I mean, so much misinformation. People think there's antibiotics in dairy. There's not. People think that dairy is bad for you. If you look at the healthiest countries in the world, they're the Scandinavian countries as well, Sweden, Finland, Norway, Denmark, Iceland, the Mediterranean countries. All of these are dairy-based diets, whether it be ricotta or Greek yogurt or Icelandic yogurt or skyr or kefir or quark. And I think the kind of dairy you have is important. If you're just sitting there eating cheese all day, it's a lot of saturated fat and very calorically dense. But to have lower fat versions of dairy products, fermented versions of dairy products, I think they're great.
But do you think that has anything to do with how the animal is treated before it gets killed for this dairy? I mean, you know, we are trained that it's better to eat organic or grass-fed or corn-fed, whatever they're saying.
So I think the confusion there is between dairy and the cattle industry. The cattle industry is they kill the animals and they use them for beef. That's a whole other thing altogether. But the dairy industry, they try and they, for the most part, are very respectful to the cows. The happier and healthier the cow is, the more milk it gives it and the longer it gives it milk. You want to keep it as long as possible and thriving. And so I've been to a lot of these dairy farms here in California. We have some of the biggest dairy farms in the world. And you go there and, you know, you see these documentaries online about how animals are treated and how terrible it is. You go there and you realize it's not like that in most places. I'm sure there's bad places. They do exist. They exist for everything in the world, right? But most of them are good. And I learned that if, I said, what about antibiotics? They said, well, if a cow gets an infection in their lactiferous ducts, you know, like a pregnant woman would get breastfeeding, if they get an infection, they go on antibiotics. They get taken out of the milk-making cycle. They go on antibiotics. When they're done the antibiotics, they then test their milk for many days until there's no residue left. and then they get put back into the cycle of collecting milk. When milk is taken away from a farm, it's tested by the federal government. If it tests positive for any antibiotics, the entire truck is dumped out. Wow. If they get caught twice, I believe it's twice, then the federal government seizes the farm. So the dairy is a very strictly regulated industry because if there's bad dairy, people die.
Right.
That's where pasteurization was invented. Cattle industry is a very different thing. The way that they treat the animals, they're going to kill them anyways. They fatten them up.
Yeah, it's terrible. I can't watch that stuff. Okay, so let's go back to coffee. I know some people think it's great. They can't live without it. Some people think it's the devil and they're trying to wean themselves off. What are your thoughts on that?
Research shows that people that drink moderate amount of coffee live longer, definitively live longer, have a delayed onset of dementia, a reduced incidence of Parkinson's, a protective mechanism on your neurological system, increased liver function. So I think that moderate amounts of caffeine, call it 200 milligrams a day, which is like two small cups of coffee or three shots of espresso, you're good. And everyone's different.
Sorry, one question about that. Is that something that comes from the bean that you're getting those stats from, or is that from caffeine in general, from anywhere?
That's a great question. Caffeine in general has all those health benefits. Coffee has caffeine, but it also has... Yeah, I'm ballparking the number. Another 800 chemical substrates in it. Mm-hmm. So there's other things in coffee, like antioxidants, just like green tea. Green tea isn't caffeine. Green tea has caffeine. It also has catechins, and it has other health benefits to green tea. So in general, caffeine is healthy, but coffee itself has also antioxidants in it. Some people find that it has a laxative-like effect on them, so it reduces transit time. So that's also healthy for your gut.
Right. Okay. Well, I guess some people will be happy hearing all that. Yeah. How important is sleep in your fitness regime?
It's, you know, like when you look at a flower, what's more important, the sunlight, the air, or the water? Mm. If you're missing one of those, the flower is going to die. And it's the same with us. You could be eating well and exercising. If you're not sleeping, you're in trouble. It should be one third of our life.
How many hours a night do we need to get?
We used to talk about in terms of 7 to 8 hours of sleep, but I think there's just too much variation within that. Mm-hmm. It's really about how well you sleep rather than how much you slept. So I keep track of all my clients' sleep every night. I've got 16 years worth of sleep data from a lot of people. I know how many minutes my clients had rapid eye movement last night, deep sleep, restlessness, wakefulness. I know what time they went to bed. I know what time they woke up. So I say the goal is 90 minutes of deep sleep and 90 minutes of rapid eye movement per night. You can use an Apple Watch, a Fitbit, an Aura to keep track.
Okay. Do you have a favorite out of those that give you?
I'm a Fitbit guy forever.
Do you have any suggestions of how people can get in that state to fall asleep better? I know Americans especially have a very good line of sleep.
I think number one, caffeine past noon is not a good idea. I would stop your caffeine at 12 midday. Alcohol is never a good idea. Alcohol just destroys your quality of sleep, your ability to reach deep sleep. You're kind of restless all night. Alcohol will help you fall asleep, but it will not let you stay asleep. Alcohol is not good. Try and stay away from anything stressful on a screen in the hour before bed. Try and shut your screen down longer before bed. If you're someone who watches TV at night, try and watch it on the TV across the room rather than on your phone right here. And if you watch something that's relaxing, happy, not too stressful, nothing that you're going to, overly make your brain activity too haywire before you go to bed.
Thoughts about temperature of the room? Like, is there an actual temperature?
The colder the room, the better. You want to keep it on castle temperature. Back in the day when people lived in these cavernous, cold spaces, I like to sleep at 90 degrees Celsius, which I think is 69 Fahrenheit.
Okay. That sounds freezing to me, but okay.
Great.
I also don't sleep well, so that's probably why. I put my, like, I'm always cold, so to me, like, 74 is freezing. But yep. I will try that. Okay. You've worked with so many celebrities, so, like, more so than I can even go through at the moment. But I think the basic question of all that is, how do they look so good? Do they come into you looking good already and that's what makes them celebrities? Or you could start with anyone at any weight and say, okay, here's what we're going to do, and this is how fit you're going to get this quickly.
I can make anybody a better version of themselves. I never like to compare, you know, when someone comes in and says, I want to look like, you know, Katy Perry in that music video. I was like, well, Katy Perry is Katy Perry, and she has her own genetics and her own thing, and you have your own thing, and we're going to make you look the best you. We look, make Katie look the best her. Mm-hmm. So I think that's important. I don't let people compare themselves. Mm-hmm. Many entertainers that come to me, they're already successful, and part of being successful, they tend to look a certain way.
Right.
So, but I find that's harder. Like, it's hard for someone coming to me who's a beautiful, fit actress, and I got to get them ready for a role. It's hard to take someone who already looks great and make them look even greater. Right. That's way harder than taking someone off the street who has 50, 60 pounds to lose. If I just have them cut out diet soda or cut out full sugar sodas, I'll have them lose 10 pounds right away. Or if they drink a lot and I have them cut back in their alcohol, that's easy. So I think it's harder taking someone who's already looking great to look greater.
So you have a unique approach to every single person you do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And again, for people that are listening that are not celebrities, if they could get one piece of advice from you as to what to do, whether it is cut out alcohol or, you know, but something tangible that they could really do. What are a couple of things that are good things they could do to start?
I would get an activity tracker, which can keep track of your steps and your sleep and all that stuff. And I think understanding how much or how little you're moving right now, I think is really important to know where you don't know where to go if you don't know where you are.
Yeah,
but that's a bit of tech, I think, is important. Getting a comfortable pair of shoes. The more comfortable your feet are, the more likely you're going to walk.
Somewhere. That's really interesting. Do you have a suggestion of good sneakers for people that trainers or whatever?
I think everyone's foot is different. I like New Balance. I like Asics. Those are my two favorite shoes for athletics and walking long distances. Aloe makes an incredible shoe. It's like a... It's really comfortable. It's got a very thick insole. Not a big fan of the Hokas. I find they gave me Achilles tendonitis.
Really?
The big round bottom and the overgrowth. So I did like debilitating Achilles tendonitis from wearing Hokas Hoka-like shoes.
I'm just curious.
Everyone's different.
Yeah, I'm curious because so many kids are obsessed with Lululemon these days. Do you think they actually make good fitness clothes, shoes, things, or do you think it's just like a fad because they're so
strong? I think Lululemon's great. It's been around a long time. A friend of mine, Chip, started the company years ago. I think Aloe is what I prefer, just a little more fashion forward. Really? And so I basically wear Aloe head to toe every single day. I don't have to think when I go to work.
Nice. Do you have any interesting stories of training a high profile client, either that you made a huge difference in what they look like or... You know, something you could share.
Boy, 33 years of it.
or someone that really stands out to you that you were really proud of the transformation they had.
Yeah, I think, you know, Seth Rogen in The Green Hornet. I think Ben Foster in X-Men. I think Hallie in Catwoman. I think Robert Downey Jr. in so many projects. I think of Alicia Keys earlier in her career. I worked on a bunch of HBOs last year, transformed the Lakers for that TV series. Just did a project with O'Shea Jackson, Ice Cube's son, mm-hmm. for a project where he had to be a hitman and he looked really great. So I'd have to look, but I've got a lifetime of these great transformations and Ariana Grande, Rihanna, Katie, Lady Gaga, her, been working with her, who's amazing. So many make great people, and they all have transformations. They all have a great transformation story. Benny Blanco, that's a great one. Mm-hmm. If you know Benny, he's hysterical. He's not only transformed, what I think it's important about Benny's transformation is he's become sort of, he's been preaching the gospel himself. Mm-hmm. So he realized how much it changed his life, and he makes everyone in his life, you know, eat well and exercise and brings them with and helps them become healthier as a result of being close to him.
Right. I saw on your website you also trained Will Ferrell.
That
stood out love because I love Will too, but it stood out to me because I've never noticed a six pack on him in a movie or anything.
Like I say, everyone can be a better them. And so I don't think Will was trying to get a six pack, but Will's actually great shape. He's a hell of an athlete,
Really?
He used to run marathons, and Will's great. I mean, a lot of funny guys, like, look, Jack Black and Paul Rudd and Jason Segel and Jonah Hill and Amy Schumer, none of these people are trying to get a six pack per se, but they're all trying to just be healthier, fitter versions of themselves. And they've succeeded in doing so.
Right. Let's talk about your books that you've had out. You did a new version of your book in the last couple of years, right? What was different?
I've just finished my eighth book.
Okay.
The last one that came out was a revised edition of The Body Reset Diet, which was a really successful book that was really getting people to use a blender to help jumpstart their journey to becoming a healthier them. And then the revised edition, it was, 10 years after the fact, we changed up some of the recipes. We changed the structure. We added more vegetables. We replaced one of the fruit smoothies with a vegetable-based soup that you make in a blender. And so that's been great. That's one of the top-selling weight loss books in the last 20 years in America. So that's been great. Five-factor diet, the world diet, five-factor fitness, 5 pounds. And then I have another book coming out next year, which maybe we'll talk about closer to that time.
Okay. And then you design gyms. You design home gyms for people and also for companies, correct?
Yeah. So we've become the largest luxury hospitality gym design firm in the globe. We do almost all of the Four Seasons hotels around the world, Discovery Lands, Viceroy's, we've done Ritz's, the George Sank in Paris, the Beverly Hills Wilshire, so many amazing products, country clubs, private residences. I was just in the Middle East working on a bunch of really interesting projects there. So if anyone out there is looking to do a really special project, multifamily hotel, residential, we do really cool projects.
And it's about figuring out the layout where everything goes and purchasing the pieces of equipment, or do you actually have some equipment that you guys have created now?
So it's like an interior design firm for fitness space. And so we will create the layout, flooring, equipment. We will actually help customize some of the equipment as well. Custom frame color, upholstery, accessories. Generally, when you design a gym now, you pick up the phone and you call one of the equipment companies and just say, fill up the room. And it's all one equipment, one brand, one look. It's kind of generic. With ours, there's multiple brands, multiple aesthetic finishes, accessories, and they're really cool. One of our projects just won best hotel gym in the world in Hualalai, Four Seasons.
Oh, wow. I've been there. I love that. These all sound like really high-end places. Obviously, the Discovery brand in general, like most gorgeous place I've ever been. So do you also do for people that are looking to, let's say, redo their entire garage into a gym, or is it you're just saving it for high-end stuff?
Yeah. I mean, some of the most interesting projects we've done are in Malibu when square feet are very limited. People will turn their garage into a gym, and we've done some incredible gyms in garages.
Yeah. Amazing. Okay. Yeah. You mentioned you have a book coming out. What are some other future projects you have in the works or that you are looking to do in the future?
Good question. We have a lot of new gym projects that are going on right now, probably in the middle of 80 to 85 new gym projects we're rolling out around the world in different hotels and residential sites. I've got a Hualalai in Kona and Four Seasons. Every quarter I host a retreat, so it's a lot of fun. If you want to come out, it's great for kids. Great to sort of press the reset button on your food, your sleep, your fitness. I've got a book that I've been writing. There's another multimedia thing that I'll be making an announcement soon to do. I've got a piece of fitness equipment that we're getting manufactured right now that's patented that I think is going to be really exciting. So it never ends. It's always fun. And I'm excited as I enter the 34th year in the fitness industry. Yeah, just keep going.
You talked about your retreat. That sounds amazing. When during the year do you usually have that?
It's quarterly. And so the next one's mid-August. And then after that, it'll be in fall and then over New Year's. So if you go to Four Seasons Hualalai, their website, you can see and you can sign up for any of the retreats.
Amazing. Where can people get your books? Where can they find out more about you? In LA, if they want to book you.
Yeah, or not. You know, half our clients don't even live in the United States. So I take care of people's health virtually every day. People can go to Harley Pasternak at Harley Pasternak on Instagram and harleypasternak.com for our website to see anything else you want to know.
Terrific. Thank you so much, Harley. I really appreciate all your knowledge.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time. Understood.